The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Audio. This is your bumbling host, Kevin. With me is someone who would never be recalled if he was the governor of Wisconsin, Mr. Dusty Giebink. How you doing, Dusty?
Oh, if only I'd been elected, those rapscallions. But they decided to stick with Walker. So, you know, and actually, I don't really like Walker, but I always say you need to keep the person in who's in. And that goes back to the California election where Arnold got elected. And that's circus. I thought they should have just stayed with Gray Davis. Because I don't think he did enough to warrant getting overthrown. So, to me, the tie always goes to the incumbent.
Gotcha. Seems a little crazy. I mean, it's a limited term for that, the purpose that if things are not going well, that you can replace them in that short term. Unless they really, really pull a spectacularly bad maneuver.
Right, exactly. If there's something horrible going on, then absolutely, but...
Yeah,
he's just a bad governor. That's not enough to get overthrown.
If, you know, they're trying to hide a child rapist, let's say, that would be grounds for... Hold on. Am I talking about that or am I mixing up headlines now?
The governor had to call the press conference short today. He had a date with a 13-year-old. Wait a minute.
Victim number 10, what was your, what happened?
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, we played soap battles. what a weirdo. And speaking of weirdos.
Speaking of weirdos, yes! You beat me to it. Your life is a disaster right now, Kevin.
I don't know if it's a disaster. It's definitely not normal. When you've had someone who is having baby mama troubles living in your household for 2 weeks.
Oh, my God.
So she has swiped all of his money. He didn't have anything left. But then, like, last night he said that she called for a booty call. I'm like, what the? And this was the day after she filed for child support.
Right.
And, you know, it's always classy to file for child support after you swipe someone's bank account.
Well, I was just going to say, what money is there to give her? She's taken it all.
Nothing at the current moment, which is why he can't live elsewhere aside from my place. And on top of that, I'm kind of feeding him right now at this point, too.
What?
Like, he sometimes has enough money to buy food. Like, he does a lot of freelance work, so it's not always a consistent money coming in.
Freelance
what? He is a chemical engineer by trade. But he does a lot. He knows a lot of physical engineering type stuff. Like he did engineering for retaining walls.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing. And then before that, he worked for a company that he had to make sure they used the right amount of spray adhesive to put on a flat built-up roof.
Oh my God.
So he kind of does a bunch of really random work like that.
Sure, but it's sporadic.
But it's sporadic, and it is always one thing that happens, which is important in my field, too. Getting permits is always an important thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, when you do not get permits, that is always a stunt to the bank account, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And he doesn't have a vehicle,
mm-hmm.
which means that if he has to go anywhere, he's used my car, and he also uses the baby mama's car sometimes.
Okay.
So,
this is incredibly awkward.
Yeah, and for a while, and I forgot about this, when it first went down, she calls me, looking for him, and tells me that he didn't take his phone with him to wherever he went.
Oh my God.
Well, I come to find out when he, moves in, that it wasn't the fact that he didn't have his phone with him so much as she had rendered the phone useless.
Sure.
So, yeah, he did not have any phone to be anywhere. So for a couple of days until he could get some money together to get a phone,
mm-hmm.
I was a go-between.
Oh, no. So it was your phone being used, and you're like the secretary.
Yeah, luckily it was at least somewhat limited, but still, you want to talk about incredibly awkward.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing like a child situation to be stuck in between, and you're the secretary, even for as little as it was. It was still... it's a rather interesting situation to find yourself in.
So is this guy like white trash? Because this is an incredibly white trash thing to have happen to you.
No, he
or is
usually
it just circumstances. Okay.
It's circumstances. He can mm-hmm. be an idiot.
Okay.
So that
I'm not taking anyone's side on this.
Right. Yeah. No. And I'm not even going into full detail. So, what the hell? Which track did I want to get to? Yeah, well, no, you said it was a situation. Yeah, no, it's, always takes two to tango.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
The more he
mm-hmm.
stays with me, as much as I kind of knew some of the stuff as a friend, like when you have someone in your space for 2 weeks, it's always a different ball game.
Yeah, gotcha.
So, some of that stuff's filling itself in. Because, you kind of hear the lopsided story when the one person is living with you.
Oh, of course. Like, if she was the roommate, you'd hear just her side of it, you know? And he'd
right.
be an asshole, and he'd be a waste of human tissue and whatever, so, yeah.
Exactly.
No, I just wanted this on the air. In classic Howard Stern fashion, it's better to tell it on the air. So.
It is rather fun to actually mention on the air. Because I know that in no way is he going to ever listen to this. And
right.
I know she isn't either.
No, there's no chance she listens.
Yeah,
and if she is listening to it, I want you to know that you are a cum-guzzling gutter slut.
Well said, sir. Well said.
That will ensure that she never listens again. So there you go.
I think on that very good emphasis, we could probably actually move on to talking about someone who probably has called one of his employees cum guzzling gutter slut at some point on television, Mr. Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
Right. Well, he probably never said those words, but he did make Trish bark like a dog, so same thing.
He certainly had. I always love, because I talked about it in my Almost Live and definitely half-assed blog. He loves to do something with the young women. And when he had the Funkadactyls dance with him, like, oh my God, like, you're still.
Yeah, right.
It was like completing just about everything that he loves to do. And it's just like, oh my gosh, this has ceased to, at least to me, be entertaining.
It's one of those things, like, during the booking meeting, he insisted on having that in there because he wants you to know how hip and with it he is. So he's down with the black people, and he's down with their dancing and stuff, and it's all a big fucking joke to him. So.
Oh, I didn't even think about him being down and hip.
To me, that's the sense I get. Like, hey, look at how cool I am, you know? Hey, you know? I don't know.
That's even worse than just being a horny old man who.
That too, absolutely.
Trying to bat over his head, I guess, so to speak, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
He's not going to outpunt his coverage at this juncture, is good old
right.
Oh man, it's an overall whole. I mean, did you? I don't know. Was it at all enjoyable for you? His shtick here on Raw.
I don't know. I was very disappointed by it. I really was, and just disappointed in the show as a whole, also. And I think. A friend of mine emailed me during the show, like in the middle of the show, and just all I could see was the subject line, "Kill me now," in all caps. And I felt like that kind of summed up my thoughts as well. I wouldn't have minded being deceased at that point. So.
Oh, man, yeah, and, you know, I was kind of surprised, and I don't know if it's, well, and it probably is his way of giving them a rub, but he didn't really get to do all that much, aside from the little skits. I was surprised that he didn't get a big monologue at any point during the evening.
Oh, I totally expected it, especially with 3 hours to kill. That was the most surprising part of the show.
I was just like, oh, hold on, here comes Sheamus. Oh, here comes Big Show. It's just like, why does he keep like really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then the mind bending. I couldn't even believe it because you brought it up, I believe, on one of the recent audios that we did. The whole the going over time.
Oh my God! They had 3 hours and they still went over.
By like John, I had realized because I'm sitting there and I was completely thinking of.
What do they need?
John Cena didn't even come out because I set Common Law to tape. So
yeah.
It wasn't when I flipped over to it, like John Cena still hadn't even come out by the time
right.
I flipped over to that. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like it was unreal.
I know, dude. Is it gonna be like that every week? Every week of a 3-hour show, it's going to be like 3.5 hours? What's happening?
I don't know.
Has to get a fucking... Take a time management class or something. It's fucking ridiculous. The meat of the segment didn't even happen until after the overrun. I don't know.
Yeah. It was incredible. I think that the content of some of the stuff that they were doing wasn't too bad to me, but oh my God, I'm really, really thankful that I got to hit fast forward through a bunch of shit.
Sure.
Because I started joking about it too, like that they were going to do more replays. And I'm just like...
Yeah.
Oh my God, they're really doing like that many more replays.
Oh yeah, it's just loaded with filler. Apparently nobody is creative enough to come up with stuff to do.
And then when they do have stuff to do, instead of not showing a replay, they're doing a 10-minute overrun.
Right! No, how about get rid of those fucking replays so the show ends on time? Is that too much to fucking ask?
You know, they only probably would need to get rid of... Well, yeah, all of them would be nice, but really...
Get rid of all of them would be perfect, but...
Yeah, it'd be perfect, but I know that that's not going to happen, so I'm not going to go
there.
But, what the hell? Oh, just get rid of a couple of them, like two or three of them or something. Just make sure that you're ready for that segment. There's no reason to be doing that because that's it. And the whole 1,000th Raw thing, my God, I don't care what those guys think about the – because that's another 2-3 segments.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
total filler, not necessary. Let's cut it. Once you get the fuck rid of that. Somebody have the discipline to only put stuff that's necessary on this show. I'm begging you. Somebody get some fucking discipline.
Because where do I want to go? Yeah, no, and it's unbelievable that that they don't really have anything resembling that.
Yeah,
it's just brutal all the time on a regular basis.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Let's see here. We had Sheamus first, and the next guy up, Tensai.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man,
he's no longer a lord. I don't know if we've talked about that, but he's not a lord anymore. He's just Tensai. So.
Yeah, and that was one segment that I was just like, "What are you trying to pull off here?" When he attacked Sakamoto,
right.
I mean, what was that supposed to get Sakamoto's sympathy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's normally go about it. They have no clue what to do with Tensei. Like, no clue.
Yeah, it's just like, you need to make the guy sympathetic first before you try to make him, you know, get that beat down.
Right, they skipped about 5 steps and went right to the beatdown.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was a very, like, jump the gun, and I always blame TNA for jumping the gun, so fuck it, I'm going to keep
God,
with it.
Yeah.
And it's just, it was one of those things, just like, okay, you got to kind of build something up for this guy if you're going to do that.
Right. Yeah.
And then, I still don't get it, like, Tensei is yelling Japanese at him, and I'm just like, I felt like the crowd doing the Albert chant. It's just like, just let the guy be the guy.
Right.
Like, did he, I don't know, I didn't see anything from his work in Japan. I mean, did he act like some, you know, Japanese master? He just whooped ass.
No, this is a WWE creation. He was nothing like that in Japan. This is just, like I said before, when he first came out, they heard the word Japan and they decided to jap it up, you know, just total tone deaf, you know, because they thought it was funny or whatever. I don't know. But no, he was just a butt kicking big guy, you know. He was like Dr. Death. So, but they can't. I can't believe it's 2012. And they're still giving people cartoony mid-90s gimmicks, you know? I mean, this is one step above Mantar, you know? Why don't they have that out of their system?
Because Vince McMahon's still in charge.
Yep, there you go.
I mean, that can be the only thing. Like, it's just like, I honestly don't hope that he sees that whopping 3/10 of a rating go up, and he thinks that is.
Oh, he will.
It's maddening at this point. It's just like, dude, just that whole CM Punk speech that he got to bring up. Later in the was that later in this show? It was later when he was talking to Daniel Bryan, but it was you know, you just feel like he's still, despite the fact that he's kind of in there and Bryan's in there, you can almost tell that they're still sort of secondary characters.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
absolutely
not, like, his revolution and his speech about fighting the system.
Mm-hmm.
I think I asked this at the time, maybe when I was talking to Jeremy, but do you think that he would ever succeed in his mission to start with?
Who are we talking about?
CM Punk, about, you know, not getting, you know, helping to change the WWE from the inside.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Okay, so, like,
not
becoming a top-billing merch guy.
Nobody can. Only Vince can.
Gotcha.
You know, so.
No, it's the buck always seems to stop there.
Any sort of change happens because somebody gets Vince's ear and Vince has to decide for himself that it was his idea, you know?
Right.
It's always this whole big process. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah. in a nutshell.
So, I mean, is there, and I guess to jump back a little bit, would Tensai benefit from a move to SmackDown here, or with what's his name, Dancing Boy Funkasaurus, Brutus Clay moving over there, kind of nullify that?
I don't even know if it would help. They got to completely redo everything about him. Basically make him a different person at this point in order for it to work. And unless they do that, it's not going to work on either show. So I don't think it matters. I think there's some great opportunities for him on Raw if they used him right, but they seem physically incapable of doing that. So he's DLA.
Yeah,
I'm
no. Yeah, they really could use someone like him, you know,
yeah.
Because they could
use a
big badass heel, because they made, Brutus Clay a good guy, so you kind of, you know, you need somebody else there to weigh in.
Absolutely.
In both ways.
I think wrestling should always have at least one big badass. You know?
Right.
And he would occupy that space very well. But for some reason, they just have no clue how to use him right. And I think everybody suffers as a result.
Yeah,
he's
gotta
be wondering why the hell he left Japan. He had it made.
It's funny what happens when you say, I get to come back home, I get
right.
to, I can probably make more money, and then, wow, you're, 2 months into it, and things are definitely not going as planned.
Right, exactly.
That's, that's got to be rough.
Well, it's not a great career trajectory, for sure. But, I don't know. It's just made me very, very pessimistic about everything. It's really depressing.
Because that's another thing. Like, none of the small places seem to... have their stuff together enough to give Vince a wake-up call, or at least a infusion of, some stolen ideas. Because, TNA is not doing it, and Ring of Honor is not cutting it either.
Oh, my God. Everything's kind of sputtering right now.
Yeah.
Ring of Honor is like a bad version of Ohio Valley. I hate to say it.
Yeah, no, that's been another one that who was it? Oh, Steve Corino came over as the heel announcer now that Kevin Steen won the title.
Yeah.
But they only have him on part-time, and it's just like...
Yeah, it's weird.
It is so confusing. It's just like, So after the dude wins the title, he changes his mind? Like, why would the...
Right?
Why would Kevin Steen tolerate that in the first place?
Right?
Who doesn't really trust anybody, but he's going to trust
that's
the guy that's
fucking
been
question.
Battling him for the last year?
Right.
Oh, it's enough. It makes your brain hurt.
In 2012, might go down as, in all caps, the year Jim Cornette lost me completely. I don't know what the fuck is going on.
Yeah, no, it's pretty wild, that whole thing.
Yeah.
because, and they haven't even, I still want to attend just to see what the hell happens at one of those live shows, if they ever end up committing to more than, like, 6 dates in advance.
Right. Well, they probably have, like, 4 months booked, but they won't announce it. That might help them a little bit. Can't do that.
Yeah, no, what would be the point of advertising any further in front of it than your next pay-per-view?
Right, right.
And I do keep on laughing that in Pittsburgh they're going to the Rost Raver Ice Complex, I believe.
Okay.
It's just like, I know I don't live there, but I go there a good chunk. I don't have the slightest fucking clue where that is.
Okay.
That is
other than
not,
somewhere in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, other than somewhere in Pittsburgh. That is not the kind of venue that you should be going to.
No, not at all.
You know, at least go to one of the smaller clubs in town or something like that.
Yeah.
Something that at least people would be familiar with.
Next Friday night, ROH comes to the Needle in the Haystack.
Come find us
if you dare.
Oh, man. Yeah, those boneheads, it's unbelievable.
You know what else is wild?
What?
Vader.
Yes.
I can't let this audio go. I cannot let this audio go without mentioning how fucked up that is. That's just totally fucked that he's back.
Is he actually back for some amount
probably
of time?
Probably not. It was probably a one shot, but because you can't just humiliate Heath Slater by not booking him. You got to job him to some 900-pound guy who's not even on the roster, you know?
Yeah, it was shocking to me that Jim Ross said, he goes, oh, Leon's looking a good 70 pounds lighter than the last time I saw him. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
That, because, yeah, and then some other people had brought up the whole,
Leon looking like an Auschwitz survivor.
Well, other people had brought up him signing, like, for some dates, and I'm just like, and that was another thing when Ross mentioned, he said 57-year-old, I'm like, oh, my God, I hope not. On top of the fact that he looked completely unmobile.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And really, that was kind of the big thing for him, was being a mobile big man.
Right. The entire purpose of his existence is now defeated. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you cannot have your main attribute thrown out the window and expect to stick around, I don't think.
Right. Like, here's Sabu. He can't do crazy flying shit, but he's here.
Oh, I would still put Vader above a Sabu who can't do hardcore stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, were there any matches that you felt Eric left off his top 10 list there on our page?
I'm going through it right now, and
yeah,
it's a pretty good list. It really is.
I really like
that SummerSlam match.
I've really got to watch this at some point because I know that I've probably mentioned it before, but I can always use a repeating. Like, when I caught him when he was in WCW, and I don't think I saw – I stopped watching wrestling from about 92 to – I think it was 97.
Okay.
So, like, almost all of his years in the WWF at that point, I didn't really see at all. So
they totally ruined him.
Oh, did they?
I mean, I know that's a cliche to say that kind of thing, but if you think about how they booked him, they totally ruined him. 1996 was an awful year for him, and it could have been fucking great. But, his first big feud was against Yokozuna. Of course he's not going to have good matches against Yoko, you know? It's fucking impossible. They should have given him a quasi squash match at WrestleMania against somebody like Fatu. This was before he blew up to Rikishi size. He would have been a little bit more mobile. He would have done a good job for Vader. So right off the bat, they don't feature him properly. And then they build him up a little bit for the title match at SummerSlam. He loses. He loses in a way to set up rematches. He never gets a fucking rematch. Shawn Michaels decides he doesn't like him, and they put the kibosh on it and give his push to Sid. So fucking the minute he had any kind of momentum, they're cutting his balls off. And from there, it was all downhill. 97, he was just a mid-card act. So he never got the momentum back. Again, Michaels just had a thing for him, kept him down, and that was it. And really, he was never the same after that.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here thinking of the matches him and Michaels could have had. I mean, Michaels would have been an awesome bump machine for him.
It was supposed to be Vader winning the title at Survivor Series and then losing it back at Royal Rumble. And, of course, you know, we know now that it was Sid who got that spot. And really, if you look at how they did it, they just fucking shoehorned Sid in there, and it didn't really make any sense unless you knew the backstage, you know, the behind-the-scenes stuff about Michaels not liking. And bottom line, he didn't like Cornette, you know? So, join the club. Nobody liked Cornette, but I guess they got into it somewhere, like a restaurant or something.
Of course.
Fucking Cornette is so kayfabe that Michaels came in and he immediately left because you can't have a heel and a babyface in the same restaurant. And that's fine, I guess. You know, I don't mind that, but Michaels took huge offense to it. Thought it was ridiculous, old-school nonsense. Well, that's just one thing. That wasn't the whole blow-up, but I don't know.
Yeah,
also, Vader never washed his ring outfit. So I'm sure Michaels didn't like working with him.
Oh, that is just plain nasty.
Yeah. Well, it's leather, you know? It's like this leather thing.
You can't really wash leather.
I mean, right? But you got a big fat guy sweating in it every night, so.
Yeah, no, that's got to end up like my brother played goal for hockey. And those pads, there is just nothing you can do about that stench.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We tried every trick under the sun, and it was just make sure that they're far, far away from anybody that has nasal passages.
from keep it away from civilization.
Yeah, just bury it in the backyard, and then when we go to play again, we'll just unbury them, and we'll be good to go.
There you go. Maybe the dirt would hide the smell. I don't know.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, you end up feeling bad for Vader because he was so hot in WCW through the 90s. And then he came to WWF, and within 6 months, he was basically dead, you know? And
gotcha.
I don't know. You wonder what could have been of his career if they had followed through the right way. So... And
yeah,
now it's just sad. Now he's a 57-year-old guy trying to hang on to what used to be, you know? I don't think anybody wants that.
Yeah, no, that's been certainly one aspect of seeing some of these guys up at the Pro Wrestling Ohio event there, Resolution.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing
mm-hmm.
some of these older guys up there, it's just like, oh my gosh, like, really, you can't, like, do something else, maybe, to just get out of this. Like, Greg the Hammer Valentine, it was just like, oh my gosh, dude, like, I loved to hate you when I was a kid, and I'm just looking at you, just shaking my head. As he's trying to hawk his autograph for $5 or something.
Oh, Jesus Christ. How sad.
Hey, yeah, no, it's just like, oh, I just feel bad.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really depressing.
Yeah, no.
It seems like no old wrestler can just stop, you know?
Right.
The one guy who would have is Owen Hart, and he died. He would have retired in a reasonable fashion, but he fucking died. So,
yeah. Well,
anywho.
Who else? Well, Heath Slater did pretty much officially die after that Vader segment.
Yeah.
Wow. Was there, anything else of, and I can't believe it, like, I'm scanning through my review, and it's just like, I don't even know what else to talk about. Like, I thought that, well, you
know
what?
How about Kane?
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. I saw the three-way feud, well... The three or the four, the foursome there with Brian, Punk, Kane, and AJ.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I guess this is actually one thing that has been clicking for me personally. I like AJ playing all three sides. Okay. Are you enjoying that too then?
No, I mean it's a good storyline. I enjoy the storyline, and the kiss and everything, and you know whatever, you know, that was something. That was episodic television.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those things where she's doing a pretty good job of acting crazy on her own.
There's so many things I could say right now, but I'm not going to.
Well, I got to say some really fun things earlier. I think you should just let her rip.
No, I'm not acting crazy. Okay, there we go. I got it off my chest. I feel better.
Yeah, no, there are some pretty crazy bitches, including the one currently involved with the drama surrounding Casa DeFrango. But
no, you never had a kid. that was the smart thing about you. I was thinking about this today. You got the divorce and everything, but you never had the kid. There was less baggage, you know?
Yeah, and despite the fact that she was the one that insisted on getting dogs,
yeah,
didn't really fight for them, or even one of them. So, yeah, no, that definitely made things really easy. I am 100% glad I did not have to deal with that.
I mean, it's never easy to part, but, you know, made it more palatable.
Yeah, no, I don't have to talk to her now. If you have a kid, you end up having to talk to them at some juncture.
Well, if you're any kind of human being, you basically have to be connected to them the rest of your life, you know? So.
Yep.
That fucking sucks.
Yes, it does. Well, was there anything that sucked enough that we should talk about here?
I don't know. I just wanted to mention that Sin Cara didn't get his trampoline, so.
Oh.
I don't think Kurt Hawkins got an entrance either, so that was just a fucking waste of 2 minutes. Yeah, one guy doesn't get his special entrance, the other guy doesn't get a entrance, and then the match takes 2 minutes. So that was really worth my time.
That new pancake finisher is the weakest finisher on the planet.
Just horrible.
Yeah, I am completely not digging that. Although I do think that he is mildly that he is not quite screwing up as many moves now. Which congratulations, you're only screwing up one or two a match instead of 4 to 6.
Kudos.
Yeah, that should not be anybody's goal.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. I don't know. I'm kind of I'm blank after that, to be completely honest. So
little things like that.
You know what? Go ahead. What was your little thing?
Well, I was going to mention, ha ha ha, the funny names they gave the jobbers that Ryback fought, you know?
Oh,
they're getting a little cute there, you know? Rutherford Hayes and Willard Fillmore, yeah.
Oh, my God, I didn't even pay attention.
Yeah, yeah, they're named after presidents.
Yeah, no, he at Ryback now, he counts as a replay segment to me.
Yeah. Mhm. Little fast forward action.
Yeah. Especially when you've got 3 hours to go. Like, there is no reason to stick around for him until he fights somebody that's gonna fight back. Like, no one is really caring about the Goldberg like buildup, because it's just like whatever. He's taking on two guys that are $185.
You know, the thing about Goldberg is WCW had so many guys on their roster that he was beating guys featured on TV every week, you know?
Right.
He wasn't beating made-up jobbers. He was beating, like, Hugh Morris and, like, Meng and stuff, you know? He was beating guys that at least were on TV every week. So the fucking streak meant something a little bit. Ryback's beating old presidents from the 1800s. So,
That's just brutal. I had no idea that they did that.
Let me just say, when you're in the dead middle of a 3-hour show, and you get Ryback versus two dead presidents, that show seems so long. It just seems like it's going to take the rest of your life to finish the show, you know?
No, it did feel like it took me forever to finish that show. Like, I was just like, oh my gosh, please, like, when am I going to bed tonight? can this just end?
Exactly.
Like, despite the fact that I fast-forwarded through stuff like that, it was just like, oh my gosh, let's... But on a, you know, I guess there, is there anything else Raw-wise? Because there was one other news note that I saw before we came on air here that I wanted to ask you about. Huh?
Lay it on me. Bring it on.
There is one person who you are fond of in TNA who had a bit of a cryptic message on his Twitter page about him going to the WWE. One, Mr. Matt Morgan. Would he fare any better in this in the current climate, considering we've already talked about Tensai not being used correctly.
Yeah, the first one that came to mind.
Another big man in what's his name? Ryback not being used right.
Right.
I don't know how much of a good move is this for Morgan if he does indeed make the move back to the WWE?
Well, before I answer your question specifically, I just want to say if anybody still holds on to the notion that all Vince McMahon does is push big guys, look at Tensei, look at Ryback, and look at how poorly they're being used. And then look at fucking Daniel Bryan, and look at how well he's being used in general. It's a fucking whole new ball game, and it's that exactly that makes me really queasy about Matt Morgan's prospects. I feel like they're going to fuck it up, even though they're really being given a gift because he's gotten better. He works super hard. He cares so much about getting better and being good, and it really would be a gift to them. Because in addition to all of that, he looks the part, too. And, I think they'll see all that and still fuck it up. I just have no faith in them right now. So.
Yeah, no, I saw that. I'm just like, ooh, this would be perfect. And, I guess I hadn't even thought about how bad they've screwed up just the big guys in particular, but it's just kind of like,
yeah, it's weird.
It's really like no matter where you go, it just seems like it's a lateral move. Like the only thing is that WWE still is probably offering better contracts. I mean,
I think just to work there, it's much better. Even if they are fucking you up, I mean, it's night and day probably. TNA is such a toxic atmosphere. And you're only going to advance so far in your career being there, you know? So.
Yeah.
He's got to get out. Even if they fuck it up in WWE, he's got to get out. So.
Yeah, no, it would be pretty interesting to have him on board because they could certainly use another 7-footer.
Right.
You know. I mean, his agility is above and beyond that of The Undertaker, even back in the day.
Absolutely.
So,
he's a pretty good athlete.
Yes, he is. And he's
got a weird charisma about it, too.
Well, and he seems to have gotten more comfortable, too, which seems to have helped.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Because I kind of bagged on him a little bit in between. But now he's really doing a pretty good job. And even those dumb Whatchamahickey commercials probably help.
Direct Auto? Yeah.
Direct Auto.
Hey, Crimson. I just happened to be here, too. What a coincidence.
Yeah, because so many of us actually go into an insurance office these days.
Right.
I believe the people that I go through for insurance have an office somewhere.
Yes.
I'm not completely sure where.
You know what it is here in my town? They've got these like small little hole in the wall offices. You see them every now and then when you're like driving down the street, like Main Street and the big important streets in this town. They all have like little tiny offices that are like insurance offices. So,
gotcha.
I was noticing that the other day. I don't know why I noticed it, but it's just weird. And one guy I think is working out of his house. Like, I'm pretty sure that's his house, you know? And he just put a fucking sign in front of it, you know?
Hey, why not?
Yeah, that guy's got the right idea. You don't have to pay for office space.
Yeah, and people are not exactly going into the insurance office to be impressed by your...
Right?
I don't know.
Look
You're
at this luxurious building! It's the fucking size of three Walmarts. Now get some fucking insurance from me.
Oh, man. Because, yeah, no, they have a nice shiny building downtown at Nationwide there, and I don't use them, so.
Sure. Right.
I don't care about big shiny buildings in my insurance company.
Yeah.
Well, I think we have insured a good show. So I am going to go grab a Mississippi Time beer. I'm out.
All right. Well, for Kevin DeFranco, for Sippy Time Beer, for domestic disputes and dragging your roommates in the middle of it, even though it's none of their real business, I am Dusty Giebink, and this has been another edition of Stunt Granny Audio, and we will attempt and probably fail to do better next time. Yeah.